It's not just radio, it's Rockland World Radio. RocklandWorldRadio.com. Spark lively discussion about a variety of everyday topics from the viewpoints of spirituality and metaphysics. This is New Perspectives.
Good evening and welcome to New Perspectives. My name is Paul Lamb and I'm here this evening with Rory Pinto, my co-host.
Hi.
And our special guest tonight is Lisa Kay. We're very honored to have you with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. The title of this evening's show is Everyday Spirituality, Learning to Connect to the Inner Guidance and Truth. Now, I'd like to introduce Lisa. Lisa is a highly sought-after spiritual intuitive and teacher of everyday spirituality. As a spiritual teacher, Lisa shows people how to expand their awareness of spirit and connect to the divinity within them. Lisa Kay has helped hundreds of people around the world through in-person intuitive coaching sessions, classes, angel readings, and her popular radio show Between Heaven and Earth, which presents a variety of topics on everyday spirituality. Lisa is a certified Reiki master teacher, angel therapy practitioner, and crystal resonance therapist. She's also a certified integrated energy therapist, is an ordained minister by the Sanctuary of the Beloved, and is a PhD candidate in metaphysical sciences. Lisa holds degrees in electrical engineering from Columbia University, psychobiology from the State University of New York, and a master's in project management from George Washington University. Thank you for being here, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, that's...
Your bio is kind of like Between Heaven and Earth, too, you know?
It is.
It has a lot of earth in it with the engineering and the psychobiology, and then we're doing this, you know, angel consulting, for lack of a better word, channeling, and not only move from one world to another, but even I suppose some of these abilities are present always, but just need a cultivation. What's it been like for you?
Well, that's an interesting point. You know, I never knew or never thought I had these abilities. I believe that, and I always have believed that we all have them. But quite frankly, you know, when I was a kid, I was very interested in metaphysics and things like, you know, psychic working, because I always thought, gee, it was really cool to be able to connect to spirit and get all this really neat information. So when I was a kid, I actually... I tested my own psychic abilities. So I would get these Zener cards. You know what a Zener card?
No.
It's a deck of cards that have different shapes on them. They'd have squares and circles and stars and wiggly lines. And you would shuffle the deck, and then you would have to predict what shape was going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did worse than chance. I was so bad at it that I got everything wrong. And that was, at that point, I figured, all right, I can't do this. I'm not psychic. I can't do this at all.
I'm going into the
I'm not Mozart.
I'm going to college.
Right.
I'm going to the sciences.
Forget it. So I kind of put it aside. And, you know, I think, again, I was always interested in it. But what started was I wanted to learn about what life was all about and, you know, why are we here? And even as a child, I mean, I think that was part of why I was interested in... the psychic or the metaphysical phenomena, because it sort of seemed to explain things that were intangible and that were maybe not as easily explainable. But I also wanted to know more about the world, so I studied science because I wanted to be a scientist, because that was the best way to really know about what is it, how does the world work. And I love science. I love science and how things work, engineering and so on. So I pursued that. That was my career. And I, as life went on, I did have, you know, once in a while I'd have some interesting psychic experience, what I would call psychic experiences. But they had to be things that were, like, really in your face. So, you know, I had one experience I had was my father had gone in to have open heart surgery, and I think I was, I believe I was in my late 20s, early 30s at the time, and the surgery was going along. It went fine. We were waiting for him in the waiting room, and we went to see him after he was out of surgery. Doctor said everything was cool, and he was okay. He was sleeping. And then I get in the car to go home, and as the car is driving out of the parking lot, I start to get butterflies in my stomach. And I even said, this is really awfully weird. I'm more nervous now than I was when he was in surgery. I don't know why that is. And when we got home, my mother gets a phone call from the hospital, and they said, right after you left, your husband's blood pressure dropped to this really low level, and we thought he was bleeding inside. So they had to bring him back into surgery, open him up to make sure he wasn't leaking anywhere, and then put him, you know, sewn back up. He didn't have any bleeding, but the problem was they had given him more anesthesia. They had to give him Benadryl because they discovered he was allergic to the platelets they were giving him. So that caused him to have very low blood pressure, and they weren't sure he was going to wake up. So, and if he did wake up, they said there was a chance of him having brain damage. So, of course, now we're, oh my God, nervous. And I had these butterflies, and they were continuing to go on. And we went through the night. They said, let's wait until the morning, see if he wakes up. So the next morning, just before I woke up, I actually had a dream. And I dreamt about my dad, and he's sitting at the end of this dining table, and he was talking about how, oh, that surgery was nothing, you know, and we were like, no, you don't understand what you went through. It was really, really awful. And then the dream ended, and I woke up, still had butterflies, and then they went away. And I went to my mom, and I said, you know, I think Dad's going to be okay. And 10 minutes later, we get a phone call from the nurse, and she says, he's waking up. His toes are wiggling. Come on down to the hospital. And long story short, my dad was fine. He came out of the surgery, he woke up, and he didn't have any brain damage. He didn't say that it was an easy thing, but he was all right. So that was one of my first, but it was in my face. It was like, you know, and I had maybe one other experience after that, but there wasn't a whole lot of things. You know, I think a lot of people who are psychic often say, oh, well, you know, I saw spirits since I was three, and I didn't. So for me to even consider that I was psychic was a big leap for me. It was a big, you know, a big transition.
And even to allow that possibility gives that possibility a chance of coming forth. I mean, doesn't if not faith, certainly trust that, well, you know, we're set up for this. Let's just see how this, it is possible for this to happen, for it to unfold.
Absolutely.
Because if you have your arms crossed and, you know, and you're dead set against, you know, anything other than material conception of life, then that's exactly what you'll get.
Right. That's it. You have to be open. I think you have to have an open mind. I do now believe everybody is psychic, and everybody can develop it. And, you know, I teach people how to do this. And I've watched a lot of people who thought that they'd had no ability surprise themselves and see that they do. And I was surprised at a lot of things that came to me. And I think it's just because we haven't been trained, and our culture kind of sees it as something that's odd or strange, or that only special people have it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all do.
All of the above.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those special people must be also strange, you know, it's that kind of
prejudice. And, you know, that takes a lot for somebody, especially, I think, even for me in particular, to not only want to pursue strengthening that skill, but more so to become more public about it, to let people know, you know, that I do this and come on a radio show and tell people that, and acknowledge that I am psychic, and I do connect to the spirit and other realms that are, you know, would be considered, you know, angels and so on.
I think, so what inspired you to take it further than just realizing that you had a, you know, a little inability in it and some interesting experiences, but to move into the realm of actually becoming professional and doing it for a living at this point?
Well, that's an interesting story. I was always interested in it. I had a long career in computers and engineering, and I was not terribly satisfied with it because while I enjoyed many aspects to it, I got to the point where I was managing and consulting, and I enjoyed that very much. But it got to the point where there was a lot of politics, and we were building software that really wasn't doing a whole lot for people. So I wanted to do something that was worthwhile. So that in itself I wasn't terribly happy with. But all along, I've always been interested in spirituality. I've always been interested in studying spiritual things to help my life so that I could become a happier person and so that I can live and fulfill my life to the best that I can. And for me, the best way to do that is to answer the question, why am I here? What is life all about? And that includes studying science and engineering and studying the transcendental, studying philosophies that maybe you might term it religion.
Mm-hmm. Spiritual traditions
and so on. So that's always been an interest of mine. And every time I had a break in work, I would go back and I'd study it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And at the point in my life, this was, I guess, about 10 years ago, I decided to stay home and raise my son and get, you know, not have nannies anymore. And again, I would go back and get books, and I'd start to read and so on. And I had learned how to channel angels through writing before he was born, actually. So it was like 15 years ago, and I went back to that. I started.
And what is that? What does that mean, channel angels through writing?
Well, it's what I call automatic angel writing, and it's a method of being able to connect to your angels and spirit guides and get messages from them through a method called channeling. And really all it is opening up your mind and your senses to getting these messages. And you start to receive messages through words, and you write them down. And they start coming through. You start out by intending to connect to angels and intending to bring in their energy. And then you ask them a question, and you get an answer.
How do you teach people to perceive the feeling that they're connecting with an angel?
Well, one of the things that when you're connecting to the energy of angels and spirit guides is the energy is always positive. It's always uplifting. There's nothing ever scary about it. There's nothing to fear about it. The messages are short. They're to the point. They're repetitive. And that is, and you can start to learn to feel that when you're feeling positive and loving energy around you, and you learn how to feel that because not every. I mean, I even wondered, well, what does that feel like? Mm-hmm. But you do it through practice, and then it's, you know, we're communicating all the time to spirit and to angels through our minds and through the senses that we already have. It's just a matter of discerning. It's that inner voice that we have. That inner voice is the voice of the angels. It's the voice of spirit that comes through. And learning how to listen to that. And so when you're open and you allow it to come through, and everybody can do this. You can ask that question, intend, you can pray that I want to connect with my angels, and then ask them a question and wait to hear the answer. And you have to really want to hear the answer. So when you do want to ask a question of someone, you ask a question and then you pause because you're very interested in what they have to say. So you have to pause and be open to what you're going to receive. And the first thing you receive is what you write down. Mm-hmm. And when I first started to do this, I thought I was going to get garbage. Mm-hmm. And I was very surprised to see that I actually got some very profound things. And you just write. So that's how I started, and I started
and,
that.
And as you became more proficient, did you also experience like a change in your energy field or from the contact with the angelic realm, or did it have a kind of healing quality that you also recognized? It wasn't.
I learned that later on. Mm-hmm. I learned, and that was part of what I wanted to do, was to find out what this energy thing is. So, mm-hmm. I think you need to go through learning how to feel it, or what energy feels like to you. Mm-hmm. And when you learn that lexicon, you learn that glossary, energy to me is when I feel a wave of relaxation that goes through me. And I always feel that when I'm connecting to angels, and I know, oh, that's angelic energy. Mm-hmm. That's when I learned what the energy mm-hmm. is. So, yes, I do feel the energy, and it does come, but I had to learn, mm-hmm. you know, what it means. To feel the energy.
To put what it feels like, to even have a vocabulary for it, it can be a bit challenging because you have
yes.
no reference point.
Everybody feels it a little differently, but at the same time, there are commonalities.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I teach my students all the time. There are commonalities, and that's why you want to share, because oftentimes what you feel may be similar to what I feel and vice versa. And when we share it, we can say, oh, gosh, you know, I felt the same thing. Or I feel the same, you know, as someone walks by you and you might be in a restaurant somewhere and you're with a friend who you can talk to about this, you know, this person walks by and all of a sudden you feel this drainingness and you recognize, oh, it was only when that person walked by, and you talk to your friend and you said,
Did you feel that?
And then you feel what? Well, I felt such and such, you know, I felt this draining, and the person might validate that for you and say, yeah, I felt the same thing, and not only that, but I kind of felt something in my legs, you know, and you might feel the same thing as well. So that's the way, you know, the ways that you learn how to know what energy is for you.
You know, when you initially gave your butterfly example, I thought, well, there's lots of ways for information to show up. You know, and it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be in words. It can be in pictures. It can be in a felt sense. It can be in butterflies. You know, that was what was available to you in that moment of your development. It might come differently now.
Yes.
If you were in the same situation, but it I think it's important for people to begin to measure, to notice what changes, what shifts, and to begin to, as you're describing, to kind of correlate that with what's happening.
Yes, and that's a very good point. You often hear people say, I'm clairvoyant, which means they see things.
Right.
Or, oh, I'm just clairsentient, I just feel things. Well, mm-hmm. I always tell my students, you know, God gave you five senses. So you're not just a hearing person. You're not just a seeing person. You see, hear, feel, smell, and so on. And I fully believe that we have all what we call the clairs. Clair in French means clear. You know, clairvoyance is clear seeing. Clairsentience is clear feeling. Claircognizance is clear knowing. So these are the psychic senses, and they have parallels with our five senses. And I believe you can develop them all. You are come into the world probably recognizing that some of one sense, one of the clairs is stronger for you. So in this case, it was my clairsentience. I felt it. And I was never, I didn't believe I was clairvoyant. I couldn't see things.
Mm-hmm.
But I have since been able to develop that. And I do see things now. So.
What do you see now?
One of the things that you can do psychically is what they call remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to, say, someone's house, or you can go somewhere where you're not present or you have never been, mm-hmm. and actually see what exists there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can see people who have passed. You can see what they're wearing, what they used to wear, what they look like. I had one experience where I was doing a reading for someone, a mediumship reading, which is where you connect to people's past or dead loved ones, and I saw this shoe pop up. It was a tennis shoe or, a sneaker, and it was kind of grayish white. You could tell it used to be really white, but it had turned gray from being worn for a long time, and it had three maroon-red stripes on it. And I said, I see the shoe. I described the shoe to her. And she started to laugh, and she said, oh, those are the shoes that we told my friend who died to change, that he loved those shoes, and he just insisted on always wearing them, and we wanted him to get new sneakers. So that was an example of
What about that treasure buried in the backyard?
Oh, I would love that, wouldn't I? I want to know the lottery numbers, too.
We're going to test your integrity and see if you
reveal it
to them.
If I could do that, I'd be wealthy.
So as a scientist, what does the scientific part of you make of information like that and these abilities, mm-hmm. which are obviously, what would you call them, ephemeral?
Yes.
It's probably somewhat in reply to somebody who says that the only thing that exists is what can be measured with the five senses. Of course, that's not the expanded senses,
I love that. You know why? Because I I've said this to people. We all believe that the Earth goes around the sun, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right, we all believe that now.
Yeah.
But did you know that no one has ever actually seen it?
Not even the astronauts?
Impossible. It's absolutely impossible to see the Earth go around the sun. And why is that impossible? Because astronomically, the distance between the sun and the Earth is so far that you would have to be so far out in space to see the two in relationship to each other that your eyes can't see it.
I guess it's sort of like knowing the presence of the wind from the waving of the flag. Because of our seasons, you can begin to probably intuit, although people didn't for the longest time, that we were here, revolving around the sun rather than the sun revolving around the Earth.
Well, I think the movement of the stars, they figured that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and they started to figure that out. But the point is that we believe, we have a construct of things that we believe because people have told us, or we have a certain experience mm-hmm. of what it is, as you said, with your five senses. But then again, we only know what our senses perceive. Right, and I'm sure heard the stories of psychology experiments where what people have perceived isn't actually the truth.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I know they had done experiments where they had convinced somebody that what they're going to touch was going to be hot when it was actually freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
And when then they touched it, they actually got a burn.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. so what you're perceiving, what you think you're perceiving isn't always the case,
Do two railroad rails meet in the distance?
Right, or that you see the condensation on the outside now. Is that because the water is leaking out of the glass?
Uh-huh.
What do you want to conclude?
It's a spiritual maxim that the appearances deceive.
So we try to create constructs to explain things,
mm-hmm.
and science does the same thing. Science creates rules or theories. And that's how science works. You have a hypothesis, and then you test it,
mm-hmm.
and then you test it based on your hypothesis, and based on those rules, things start to happen again and again and again.
Reproduce it.
But it, right, and it will happen within a certain environment. In other environments, it doesn't completely work. For example, in fact, a student the other day said, well, take gravity. It always works. If I pick this up and I drop it, it always drops. So to me, that means it exists. And I said that, gravity doesn't always work the same way in other dimensions or other forms, for example, subatomically gravity. The physicists have discovered that it doesn't work the way we expect.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean?
And it's different outside of the Earth's gravitational pull. You know, the spacemen floating in there.
Right. Yeah. So that helps you open your mind to questioning. Open your mind to, okay, so there's things that are beyond us. It doesn't mean that you should throw away the constructs we've created. Mm-hmm. In fact, I like to go the other way. I like to take the constructs that we've created in science and metaphysics and try to put them together. And mm-hmm. I think that goes to your question, which is, how do you reconcile those? And one way is, you know, and a lot of people go back to quantum physics and Einstein and E equals MC squared. If you really understand maybe what the E is energy equals mass times a constant. And a constant is just a number. So it could be 2. It could be 3. So essentially, energy equals mass. And that means that the mass, and again, the physicists have gone through their calculations and their experiments and seen that mass is made up of energy. And if everything is made up of this thing called energy, and physics says that, number one, energy cannot be created nor destroyed, so it always exists, it just changes form, then our consciousness, our being, is energy, and that continually exists. It just changes form. So that helps explain...
Say that again.
So, because energy cannot be created nor destroyed, and we are made up of energy, our consciousness is energy, that it continues to exist. Now, our bodies will change form when we die, right? We go to dust. The consciousness continues to exist as what? And we believe it continues to exist as energy, as consciousness.
We?
Mm-hmm. Well, we being, I would say, those who believe in this construct. Mm-hmm. So, metaphysicians or psychics or anybody mm-hmm. else who wants to follow along with that philosophy.
There's a oneness of intelligence that, at least for me, makes pulling information out of the void, however you want to talk about it, possible. And it also allows you to kind of be telepathic, because really there is no separation. It's one font of
exactly.
of energy and one font of information, and it's just a matter of opening to it and having innocent perception or no preconceptions or mm-hmm. assumptions or whatever, and seeing what shows up, and being open to however it shows up even in the most outlandish ways. It's like, you know, it, mm-hmm. Totally abandoning any kind of expectation or form. And it could be off the wall or it could be pretty straightforward, and you just don't know what's going to show up. But it's
because we're all connected. And science has an explanation for that as well, because energy, again, it's not created nor destroyed. It always exists, just like the light from a star continues to exist, just goes through space. The star might not even be there anymore, but the light is.
Yeah.
So it continues on and illuminates whatever it touches. And, you know, as consciousness, we're all, the energy that exists is connected in that it's always there. And energy can take on different forms. It could be light, it could be heat, it could be thoughts. And we know, being electrical engineers, that there is an energetic field around that energy, and that field is what also connects, affects other things through what they call resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one way of explaining how we can connect to each other's energy field, or we can connect to, as you say, the universal consciousness, which is, again, a form of energy that's always around us. So there, again, there's some explanations.
The discovery of subatomic particles that actually move faster than the speed of light kind of shakes it up a little bit.
That, yes.
Do you have an intuitive feeling of the significance of that discovery?
You know, I think one of the things, as in my studies as an engineer, you have to study physics, obviously. Mm-hmm. And what gets really interesting about learning about physics is that you learn that there are additional dimensions. I mean, we can all think about, we'll start with two dimensions. That's easy, right? That's a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. An infinitesimally thin piece of paper, two dimensions. So what would a sphere be like to a two-dimensional plane? It would be
a circle.
A circle, right. What would a pencil be?
A line.
It would start out as a dot, right?
Oh,
the
true.
Point of the dot, and then it would turn into a circle, and then turn into, what is it, a hexagon? As it passed through that plane. Depends on which, you're right, it would be a line depending on which way it passed through the plane.
That's true.
So now you start to get an idea of the dimensionality of what it's like to be in two dimensions if you lived in flatland. Then we take it to three dimensions, of course, now that dot that was a hexagon turns into a pencil. And that gives you a different perspective. Then you take that three-dimensional world and you put it into the fourth dimension of time. And time is where you're moving that three dimensions, those three dimensions through time. And that has a whole other aspect to it.
And generally, it immediately implies space.
Exactly. And then you go to the next dimension, the fifth dimension, which I can't get my head around.
Which is?
I don't know.
Superliminal.
But
feeling.
You know that, and again, that gets into the physicists who can think in those ways. Mm-hmm. It's very. You have to. What they do is they map it. You end up having to map it back to three dimensions. But I can't get into that because that's not my specialty.
You know, if you have that pencil, even the pencil has an energy field,
mm-hmm.
which you can sense at a certain point. Everything is living, even so-called inanimate objects. There is a certain degree of chi or light that they have.
Yes.
And as that the change in that light allows for their decay or their growth, for that matter, you know, and changing form as mm-hmm. well. So if you're sensitive, back to the psychic discussion, to different dimensions of reality, and you don't have a preconception about it, then you know each person kind of has to discover it for themselves. And how it shows up for them, how they're able to perceive it and integrate it or resonate with it, has everything to do with their mm-hmm. state of being or state of consciousness in that moment.
And I think, you know, you could get into fifth dimensions and n dimensions, you know, and then that gets your head really can't wrap around that.
But what is a hologram?
A hologram. You know, I don't have the specifics for it. I know it has to do with the way the optics work, but I can't answer that question.
It's coherent light. It's made of coherent light from what we discovered from lasers, from what I know, and it's three dimensional, but it's made of light. It's not solid.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a virtual creature, you know, like Pinocchio or something. Excuse me. And what's remarkable is that in a holographic environment, let's say a holographic figure, that there any point on that figure can recreate the whole figure. That's what's the most amazing part of holography, which is why it's such a metaphor for how the universe works. So each mm-hmm. of us is the macrocosm, microcosm thing. The microcosm has the macrocosm within it in every point. So it's like that macrocosm, that hologram is accessible from any point in the hologram, which is why it's such an amazing metaphor for the interconnectedness of things and of the oneness of information
mm-hmm.
And knowledge. Because that's kind of what we're discussing here in a way. You know,
yes, it is.
Psychic phenomena.
It is,
you know,
absolutely.
Trying to wrap our heads around it.
Yeah, it gets very difficult to wrap your head around. But I think my at least interest in it wasn't to get to the point of trying to understand that, but right. rather how can I use it in my everyday life to make my life better. And to me, it was really about being connected to my higher self and to ultimately what God wants me to do and wants me to be, or that, you know, that all that is, so that I can live a better life and maintain that connection. So I can choose the right path when I come to the fork in the road. And, you know, I think it's brought me some an interesting path, as it is. I never thought I'd be sitting here today talking to you about my work with angels and connecting to spirit. I certainly wouldn't have thought that 10 years ago. But even that was sort of an interesting story in how I got to there. I was wanting to learn, I think, as I explained earlier. And again, going back to connecting to the angels and spirit so that I can further my life and better it, I got interested in, you know, the connecting and so on.
Let me just back up a little bit. What is an angel?
Well, an angel is a messenger.
What are the spirits?
Well,
and what form are they in?
Spirit guides.
Well, if you want to go into angels and spirit guides, in my mind, are basically, again, another form. Everything is energy. God is energy. We are all part of God. It's all one continuum. And spirit guides and angels are a way that we conceptualize that part of consciousness that God is, that we can relate to, that we can connect to. That's one way that I look at it. So that if you want to, it's very difficult to talk to God because, you know, our thoughts of what God is just so big and just so profound that in a way it's nice to have a way to personify, a way to get your messages to God and get your messages, get your prayers to God and get your messages back. And I think, you know, if you want to look at it from the scientific or maybe from a more down-to-earth point of view, this is how I can explain it, that we've created this construct so that we can connect to God through these messengers. Technically, or from a metaphysical standpoint, angels are messengers of God. And they have, we as humans have had beliefs in God and or in angels for hundreds of years. Maybe thousands of years.
Many of the religions have angels, don't
they? Every religion has angels in it. Specifically, if you want to talk about the Christian Bible, there are, I believe, two big ones everybody knows about. Archangel Michael, who's spoken about, who slew the devil, and Archangel Gabriel, who brought the message to the Virgin Mary that she was going to give birth to Jesus. So there's a belief in that religion as well as others. And they're messengers of God. They have never been human. They've never had a body. Some people feel that, you know, their past loved one or their grandmother who died is their angel. But technically, in the traditional way of describing angels, they have never had human bodies. Actually, I take that back. There are two that supposedly have. That's Sandalphon and Metatron. but they're messengers of God. And they're there to help you in your life. They're there to guide you, to give you the guidance when you need it. That's why you want to connect to them to get your divine guidance. And they're also there to, at times, protect you. And when you need it. That's the only time when you don't need to request their help. They will come and help you at times to save your life, so to speak. So, and spirit guides are there for similar reasons, and they have all different kinds of guides. There are ascended masters, who may have been physical, like Buddha, Jesus, Mother Mary. Those are considered group of ascended masters, and then others that may have not been physical. Kuan Yin, who's a goddess of mercy in the Asian philosophy. And they are there energetically to support you, to give you guidance, where we have been born with this gift, because God never wanted us to be alone, never wanted us to be without guidance and help, and that's why they're there.
Right. you know, they're there, but you have to kind of open to being receptive to God appearing through that particular dimension. In other words, if everything that we need is present right now, it's already done, and we just have to let it unfold in time and space. That unfolding can include coming through these angelic dimensions.
Absolutely.
As much as it can come through the Fuller Brush Man or however it shows up, whoever's knocking on the door. Boy, that's an old reference. just dated myself 100 years.
I remember our Fuller Brush Man very well. In fact, we still have a nail brush from the Fuller Brush Man.
So, but that struck me as I was preparing for this show is the omnipresence, omniscience, actually, the all knowingness of source, and it can appear in through form, including subtle forms of angels, you know, and spirit guides, mm-hmm. and ascended masters, and these various kind of subdivisions of beings in subtle form that are servants or that are part of the process of evolution, mm-hmm. that the universe ensures. You know, and part of our playing the part is to even be receptive to this and see for ourselves how it works, how it unfolds, how it can be useful.
Absolutely, and there are different guides for different aspects in our life. You know, like Sonia Choquette talks about joy guides, the guides that help us bring joy in our life because we need that. There are guides that help us with our health. There are guides that are, for example, doctors, and right. they may even be people who used to be doctors who passed on, and they're helping the medical field. They're helping the doctors who are there today, and mm-hmm. nurses, and so on. So there are all kinds of guides, and you can ask for a guide. You can ask for one to, say, help you write or help with a particular skill or job that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You just have to request it.
So in terms of making spirituality practical in everyday life, so how would you suggest people connect to these helpers?
First you have to have a desire to do it and an openness to believe that it can be done. And I think that's key, is that you might be skeptical, which is okay. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, being an engineer and a scientist, we are naturally skeptical. Mm-hmm. But you have to be open to what may come and that it can be done, that you can do it. So that's the first step. And then the other step, I think, is to have a daily practice of a way to connect. And a lot of people like to do meditation, and I think that's actually the number one way to do it. I hesitate to mention that because everybody goes, oh, forget it, I can't meditate. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of different ways you can, and you can just, sometimes it's just being calm and being present and taking just 5 seconds to be present and be aware of where you're sitting and how you feel in this room right now. And I think that allows you, when you are present and your mind isn't full of all kinds of noise and other things that you're thinking about, that mind chatter, when you're present and calm, you'll get pop-ups, you'll get things that will come up, messages, and that's the way you connect to the spirit and the little voice that's inside you.
So you don't want your pop-up blocker engaged?
No. Definitely not. And that pop, the way you, the pop-up blocker that you do have is your disbelief, is believing you cannot do it. You have to believe you can.
I would, but I think it's important to include that you don't lose your discernment. And that sometimes,
yes.
depending
mm-hmm.
on your rate of vibration, what you pull in isn't necessarily useful, or it may, you know, you may be pulling in an entity that is not such a high vibration.
And that's why I like to work with angels, because you learn how to do that, how to connect to a higher divine energy. And you never have to be afraid. Number one, when you do that, you don't have to be afraid of connecting to the wrong thing. Number two, I also believe if you do connect to the wrong thing, that you can always tell it to go away. Mm-hmm. We have that ability. There's nothing that energetically that can hurt you, so you should never be afraid of that. But that's why I like angels, because it's, you know, what better way can you get a good divine message? Mm-hmm. And again, the messages from angels are always positive and uplifting, and they're never negative. They never put you down. They don't have any ego. It's short, sweet, to the point, and loving.
So there's no drill sergeant angels.
No, yeah. That's most definitely
just checking.
Not.
Yeah.
And how do you work with the client? The client comes to you with whatever the issue is, and so how do you work with them in your one-on-one sessions?
Well, when we do an angel reading, mm-hmm. I basically tell them, you know, this what an angel reading is, and then we go into it. And what an angel reading is that it's like a psychic or a tarot card reading. The only difference is that we're connecting to your angels and your spirit guides and getting a message from them to you.
So it's theirs, not yours.
Yes,
it's their angels and their spirit guides.
I call in my angels and spirit guides mm-hmm, to help mm-hmm. as well, and ultimately, it's, you know, it's divine guidance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they can ask whatever question they would like, but keeping in mind that you're getting divine guidance to help you find a path in your life that's easier. It's not about, what are the lottery numbers, what job should I take. It's not about that. It's about getting life guidance. And mm-hmm. and I tell people that when you do get an angel read, the angels may be able to tell you what's happening in your future, but it's not fixed in stone, because you have your own free will. So if they tell me that you're going to be, you might have a car accident in that red car, and you don't get in any red cars, then you won't have the accident because you've made that choice. But they would never tell you that anyway. And I also don't believe that knowing what your future is going to bring to you is really all that helpful. So then I also use oracle cards, and these cards are really to get you out of your ego space and to tune into more the divine energy. And I use the cards that Dorian Virtue creates. They're beautiful angel cards, and I tell people the message is not always the cards, because it's really a tool. We're getting messages. It might be the words on the cards, it might not. It might be in the pictures, it might not.
These are the oracle cards?
These are the oracle cards, the angel cards. And I don't always use cards.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell people, because when they come, they'll see the cards there. And then we go, and we may use the cards or not. And oftentimes I tell people you can ask whatever you'd like, or ask for a general message, which often answers the questions you would have asked. So most of the time people say, okay, give me a general message, and that becomes the reading, because by the time we're done with the general message, their questions have been answered.
Hmm. Even without their voicing the questions?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
So that's interesting. That's interesting. You can a general.
Mm-hmm.
A general, that's good.
It's like a general anesthetic rather than local.
Give me the blanket life view.
But keep me awake.
Keep me in
awareness.
Interesting. So your sessions are an hour long?
They're a half hour or an hour.
I do them
over the phone. Most of them are over mm-hmm. the phone. I will do them in person, but usually they're only at public events, mm-hmm. and I do those around where I live here in Westchester a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The show, which will be on the 19th at Paulus, they're going to be here next week.
Yes, and I will be at the Awaken mm-hmm. Fair.
Mm-hmm.
The 19th in Tarrytown, New York.
So at the Awaken Fair, you do 15-minute sessions?
Yeah, I think they're 15 or 30. You can mm-hmm. pick either one.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes all day. And you got to sign up early because get booked pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So, but they're fun to do, and it's a fun fair.
Hmm. Hmm. Any other... back to our topic of everyday spirituality, learning to connect your inner guidance and truth. Maybe you'd like to speak to just kind of... maintaining a certain vibration through the way you live your life, so that so that it's easier to go into non-ordinary reality for this sustenance.
Well, I think it all comes down to mind, body, and spirit, right? So, you know, you want, and that's the way I think life should be, is that you want to take care of your body, you want to take care of your mind, and take care of your spirit, and they're all linked together. So, you know, body is pretty simple, and you hear this from everybody. It's, you know, you want to watch what you eat. You want to take care of your body. So taking care of your body is exercise and getting enough sleep, and eating the right things. I think the best thing is to eat organic. I know Paul would have a lot to talk about that. But so that, I think, helps a lot. And I don't want to get too much into the nutrition discussion, but the other thing with the mind is really, and it's a lot of what I teach, and is how to maintain kind of a higher vibration in the thoughts that you have. And that part of that's positive thinking. Part of that is looking at life a little bit differently in terms of things being, you know, the glass half full rather than half empty. And, you know, some of the topics that I talk about on the show that I have, we talk about positive gratitude, talk about how to have more happiness, we talk about meditation, we talk about, let's see, what other things, how to let go and let God. Those are the kinds of things that I really think help change your vibration, change your mind, your body, your spirit, so that you can raise your energy vibration as well, and be able to connect. One thing that I tell everybody to do is to work on cleaning your energy field, cleaning your chakras, and I have a meditation to do that. It's a very short guided meditation. It's about 12 minutes, and it's really to teach you how to clean your chakras. And that, and the chakras are your energy portals, which allows you to bring in energy and also send energy out. And that's a very important one. I know a lot of people have done my meditation because they feel they do need it and they don't know how to do it. And that's actually why I recorded it, because it's a very vital part of raising your energy and taking care of your energetic health.
Well, that's a very interesting point, and a good point, because in order to raise those thoughts, if you don't bother, you know, doing some of the things you're talking about, such as the meditation to raise your physical vibration. And it's not just your physical vibration. It's more difficult to have the positive, ongoing gratitude and lifting your thoughts to a little bit more positive, uplifting.
Yes, most definitely.
Because that is really, that's the issue.
Totally.
Is to be more and more in that space.
Well, and I think that's also why I was interested in energy healing, because your energetic body is much more important in a way than your physical, because the physical comes from the energetic body. And if you take care of that first, your energy body, then the physical will follow its lead and become healthier. And all of that will help you connect to spirit and divine guidance.
Good point. Now, what is that? You have a CD for people can get that?
For the chakra clearing, yes. And it's actually on Amazon. You can get it there. It's chakra clearing and energy shielding meditation. And if you go to my website, there are links there that will help you find out where you can purchase that.
Can people get it as an audio file, too, an MP3?
Yes, you can. Through my website, you can, not through Amazon. Oh, no, through Amazon, you can. You can get a download of the MP3. It's actually cheaper. So it explains how to do it. There's an explanation of what it's all about. Then it does the meditation, and then there's the energy shielding meditation as well.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for coming tonight.
And I think
her website address?
Yes. The website is www.imk. Is that an L?
L.
L.
What are my initials?
LMK88. .org. Obviously, there'll be a live link on the website.
Yes.
On our archive, there'll be a live link.
That'll be great. Mm-hmm.
And there's much more to talk about, but...
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate being here. It was a lot of fun.
Pleasure. Thank you so much. My name is Paul Lamb, and you can reach me at paulmlamb.com.
And my name is Rory Pinto. You can reach me at Rorstar, R-O-R-S-T-A-R, at AOL.com.
Thank you, Richard, and Rockland World Radio.
Radio, it's Rockland World Radio. RocklandWorldRadio.com.